Jane Dugaboren has a telltale heart. He was 60 years old in 1999 and hearteningly fit. He swam every day, played basketball with teenagers and fascinated younger women. He was busy and energetic as a teacher and writer. His family line seemed to be inscribed with longevity. He did not smoke, drink to excess, or otherwise fritter away and degrade the gift of good health. And yet, one day, while undergoing a routine medical test, Jane Dugaboren was told he needed an emergency quintuple bypass. Jane Dugaboren has turned the story of his illness and recovery and his lifelong friendship with four boyhood friends from Brooklyn who happened to become doctors into a meditation on sickness, health, and true healing. His new book is Open Heart, a patient's story of life-saving medicine and life-giving friendship. And Jane Dugaboren joins us from our studios in New York. Thanks so much for being with us.
Happy to be here, Scott.
Help us understand how a man as healthy and vital as you suddenly needed a quintuple bypass.
What I discovered by talking with my friends and doing some homework after the surgery is that heart disease is very difficult to diagnose. The statistics are a little bit alarming. 50% of men and 63% of women who die of a sudden heart attack have had no previously known history of heart disease. As a matter of fact, if you put all of the traditional risk factors together, obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, smoking, even being overweight, lack of exercise, even positive family history of heart disease, you put them all together, it still only accounts for 50% of the instances of heart disease. And what that means is that there is a huge element that we simply don't know much about. Mm.
Looking back on it, there were some accumulating signs of at least fatigue, weren't there?
Yes, and the reason the process started was because one day when I was in the middle of swimming my mile, I suddenly started sucking air, became very short of breath, and this had never happened to me before. So I got out of the pool, went home, called my doctor. I'm used to feeling pretty good and fit.
I'm struck by the fact, with all due regard to, I'm sure, your conscientious physician at the time, it really did take the intercession of four boyhood friends who were physicians to identify the danger you were in.
Yeah, that's correct. My GP, whom I saw 4 weeks after I called, diagnosed adult-onset asthma, and he said, but you probably should have a stress test. So 4 weeks later, I had a stress test with a cardiologist, and he thought it was... He diagnosed a viral cardiomyopathy. It simply means a weakening of the heart muscle due to a virus.
Yeah.
But it does not deal with the coronary arteries, per se. By this point, I had been calling my four friends because even though I continued to exercise and continued to do everything else, something didn't feel right. And my friend Rich, the cardiologist, who was 3,000 miles away in California, said, okay, what'd the test show? I told him, what'd the doctor say? I told him, he said, it's not viral, goddammit. I want you in the hospital as soon as possible. And why the doctors missed the diagnosis, he said, is because they didn't listen to me. Mm-hmm. I also had some pain between my shoulder blades, a little burning sensation, and I had told the doctor this, but what Rich pointed out is that you can never have this, which is kind of angina, a referred pain from the heart, and cardiomyopathy, this weakening of the heart itself, at the same time. And he forgot that because, as Rich says, he just kept looking at the test results.
You point out that this is something that medical plans don't make provision for. They'll pay for tests, they'll pay for expensive medications, but they won't pay for a doctor's time just to listen.
Alas, very true. We have a paradoxical relationship going on here, that the better the tests are, and they really are much better, the yeah. better the procedures are, the more we need the judgment of the doctor to interpret them.
Your friends in the book keep making a point of the fact that they consider medicine not to be an exact science, but a kind of art.
Correct, because each illness makes itself felt in each of us in a different way. It's not as if the illnesses are generic and we're generic. And Rich at one point says, you know, if you put a patient with some symptoms in front of five doctors, you're probably going to get five different diagnoses. This was a revelation to me. I mean, I grew up believing that what the doctor said was sort of holy writ, that the doctor knows all. And it was, I still have a hard time not doing what the doctor tells me. At one point, the doctor recommends that I take some cholesterol meds, even though my cholesterol is way below normal. And I can't not do it. And Rich says, what are you taking that crap for? He says, you don't need it. And I said, he's my doctor. How do I go against him?
I'd like you to read a section from your book. Open heart surgery has become so routine. I think we'd all benefit by hearing your description of really what an extraordinary process it is.
Yeah, thanks. Here we go. Open heart surgery, or more accurately, open chest surgery, is, I know, a major event, a procedure that seems as astonishingly primitive as it is technically remarkable. They will crack open my chest, then slice open an arm and a leg to harvest a vein and an artery that, after they shut down my heart for several hours while recycling my blood through a heart-lung machine, they will stitch into my heart before reattaching major incoming and outgoing arteries, jump-starting my heart with electricity, and stapling and sewing my chest closed. Even though I will be virtually dead for several hours, my body temperature lowered to 80 degrees, as with hibernating animals, cooling reduces the body's need for oxygen, thereby giving the surgeon extra time for suturing, while a team of doctors and technicians retrofit me with new interior plumbing made up of spare parts taken from within my own body, the procedure itself, for all the drama and miracle of the fact that one can perform it on living human beings, has become commonplace. Hundreds of thousands of bypasses are performed each year, more than 500,000 in the United States, and given my state of health, the possibility of failure, error, or distressing side effects seems minimal.
Mr. Neugeborn, how are you feeling?
I feel great. I still swim 5-6 times a week, three-quarters of a mile to a mile. I play singles tennis. My resting pulse is actually lower than it was before surgery. It's now about, it was 58 then, now it's about 50. So I have what's called an athlete's heart. I feel physically quite fine. I also feel a lot closer to these four friends. I think my crisis has drawn the five of us together in a way that is certainly enhances my life.
Mr. Neugeborn, nice talking to you.
Nice talking with you, Scott.
Jay Neugeborn, his new book is Open Heart, a patient story of life-saving medicine and life-giving friendship.